Yeah. Gentlemen, welcome back to Faith Word Baptist Church. So nice to see you all here on this Friday night for our missions conference. Find your seats now, grab a songbook, and go to hymn 258, and we'll begin tonight. Hymn 258 is Christ Receiveth Sinful Men. Hymn number 258. Give you all a second to turn to that page. 258 begins Sinners Jesus Will Receive. Number 258. Thank you that you guys receive us as we are on 258, lift your voice on that verse now. Sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all, through the heavenly pathway lead, all who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again, Christ receive a sinful man, make the man. Go and ask the Lord's blessing on the service. It's good to have Pastor Aaron Thompson here with us, so I've asked him if he would open this up in word prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this great missions conference, and Lord, we just ask that you bless the services tonight, fill Brother Chris with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you just bless all of the rest of the events and all the rest of the preaching that happens, and Lord, we're just so thankful for this great church here, Lord. Pray that you just bless the service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Back a few pages, 253. 253, ye must be born again. Hymn 253 begins, the ruler once came to Jesus by night. Number 253 might be unfamiliar to some of you, but if you know it, let's sing it out together. Hymn number 253. Sing it out now. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye children of men, attend to the word so solemnly uttered by Jesus the Lord, and let not the message to you be in vain. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again. O ye who would enter that glorious rest and sing with the ransom the song of the blessed, the life everlasting if you would obtain, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again. A dear one in heaven, thy heart yearns to see, at the beautiful gate may be watching for thee. Then list to the note of this solemn refrain. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. Good singing.
All right, at this time we'll just quickly go through a couple of announcements. If you don't have a bulletin, put up your hand if you don't have a bulletin, the one that has the schedule on the back. I'm going to borrow yours, sorry. But if you need, now you need one, so put up your hand. Put up your hand if you need a bulletin that has the schedule on the back. This is the most important thing. Don't look at the soul winning times like inside the bulletin. That's on a normal, typical week. During the conference, the only stuff that's happening during the conference is just what you see here on the back. So this schedule supersedes the normal soul winning schedule. And of course, we've got the service tonight. And we're going to hear from Brother Chris Segura once again about Columbia tonight. And then after the service, if a few people want to stick around, help out tearing down decorations and putting up the decorations for tomorrow for Germany Day. And I believe that Mrs. Madison, are you in charge of who's doing Germany Day? Who is it? Catherine Dicken. Okay, so Catherine Dicken is the one to see here. And so after the service, she can give instructions and help you out. But we're going to be taking down the old decorations, putting up the Germany stuff. So tomorrow, we're going to have the morning service right here, 10:30 a.m., and we're going to have Brother Dylan Oz preaching, soon to be Pastor Dylan Oz. Okay, so it's just a couple of weeks, folks. He's practically a pastor. And so it's going to be great. He's going to get ordained in about 2 weeks and 2 days, I think, something like that. And he's going to be pastoring in Oklahoma City. And so we're excited about that. I believe it's going to be called Anchor Baptist Church. And so praise God for that. He's going to be preaching tomorrow morning because he actually did missions in Germany. So he's going to preach about his trip to Germany and the soul winning that he did over there. And then we're going to have a little bit of a different schedule because we're going to have a soul winning time at 1 o'clock right here. So you can go get lunch, whatever. Soul Winning Time meets at 1 o'clock. And then after soul winning, we're going to be going to Papago Park for the church picnic, okay? So this is the same location. For those of you Faithful Word people, you know where this is because it's where we always go for the church picnic. College and Curry, right? So if you're an out-of-towner, you might want to write this down, okay? Corner of College and Curry is where you're going, because if you just type in Papago Park, sometimes it could take you to other parts of Papago Park because it's like a huge park. So you want to make sure that you're on the corner of College and Curry, all right? Just remember College and then Pastor Shelley's favorite spice, and you're good to go. Okay, College and Curry. Easy to remember. And then that, it says 3 o'clock, but here's the thing. You can get there early for that. You can get there late for that. That's just kind of a rough time when people are probably going to start ending up over there. But you can go there before that. You can get there after that. The food is actually going to start being served more like 4:30 or 5, right? Actual like a dinner time. So expect the food to start happening at 4:30 because we want to make sure that we can get everybody served the food and fed and everything. And then back here for church at 7 tomorrow night. And let me tell you something. This German picnic is going to be something special. Okay, this is really high quality stuff. Okay, Lola, I don't know why you're laughing because you helped make some of the food. So, you know, she's just excited. She just can't contain the joy over there. Okay, that's how I'm going to interpret that. But let me tell you something. This food is going to be really, really high-end stuff. Like if we put you on a plane and sent you to Germany, what you're going to eat tomorrow is going to be better. And I'm not exaggerating. Okay, so these are going to be like super-duper ridiculously authentic, high-quality German pretzels. Okay, so this is probably going to be the best pretzel you've ever had. Okay, not to build it up too much or anything, but it's true. And then also we're going to have bratwurst and other stuff. A lot of cool German stuff. I think we're going to be having some of the, what are they called? Gebrannte Mandeln, or is it, is that right? Yeah, so which translates literally as burnt almonds, but they're not burnt, okay? They're just like roasted, candied almonds. So we're going to have like some desserts. We're going to have pretzels. We're going to have bratwurst. It's going to be really cool. And so you're in for a treat tomorrow with that. And then we're going to be hearing in the evening service from Brother Anselm Urban, of course, about Germany and the things that have happened over there and the trials and tribulations as well as the successes. Okay, but tonight we got something really cool before the sermon. I've asked Brother Kevin Rowe to come at this time, and I've got your microphone, Kevin, if that's what you're looking for. I'm just going to wire you up with this. But Brother Kevin Rowe has come up with this idea. It's such a cool idea. I thought it was cool when I first heard about it. He successfully executed it with several other church members, and so he's going to teach us about this thing of cruise ship soul winning, okay? It's going to be good. Here we go. Just go ahead and stick that in your pocket. You do it.
Thank you. All right, so I want to just talk briefly about a Caribbean cruise mission trip that I led last month. I think they handed out an insert that basically shows the itinerary and some of the pictures from that. But basically, this idea came to me because I have a desire to get someone saved as many countries as I can, and cruises are a cost-effective way to do that. And right now, there are cruises that, you know, there's thousands of cruise itineraries that are available, and they go to all seven continents, including every country at this year's conference, excluding Armenia. And they even have cruises that loop around the entire world, you know, if you had so much time to do that. But basically, for the North American cruises, there's basically four options, and I want to kind of show you on the map here. But basically, there's, you know, because you have a hub where the cruise sends out from. Basically, there's one option where you can start from California side and basically do, you know, Baja, California, Mexico, somewhat of Central America within a week. But since that speaks Spanish and I don't speak Spanish, I didn't do that one. The other option is basically Texas or Louisiana. A lot of those cruises go to Mexico, Belize, a little bit of Central America, Again, I didn't choose that one. The other option is pretty much Florida, which mostly will do these upper islands, you know, Bahamas, Jamaica, and some of the ones. You can go a little farther down with those cruises, but then you wind up having at least one day of just on the sea travel, on the sea back. So within 1 week, you would probably only see maybe three islands. And so we went with option four, where if you actually fly in to Puerto Rico, which is very good because it's American territory, you can fly there cheaply for about $300. And now you're surrounded by all these countries and all these islands, and you can basically do many islands in 1 week with very little downtime. Of course, if you had the time to do two-week mission trips, you can do a lot of other cool things. For instance, you can actually go from California all the way to Florida through the Panama Canal and do these really elaborate things. But we were just trying to do a one-week cruise, and we were trying to do it, you know, as many countries as possible for as cheap as possible. So, you know, with my pretty much ideal itinerary found, which is the one that I chose, here's how it went down. So, you know, the first day, we flew into San Juan, Puerto Rico. We got there about 2 o'clock, and we Ubered from the airport to the cruise terminal. And what's nice is that Puerto Rico is pretty much the only, you know, Caribbean country that even has Uber access. So it was real cheap, real easy to do that. We boarded the boat pretty much like going through the TSA a second time. We put our bags in the room, and then we basically had one of our first buffets. And so a big part about the cruise is really the food, right? So how the buffet works is basically there's a buffet area on the boat that's open from sunrise to sunset, and they have distinct menus for like breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then kind of snack times in between. And they have a bunch of different stations for different types of food, right? There's like a Mexican, Indian, Italian, British, you know, it's massive. Everything you could want is there. And then they also have like, you know, a salad bar, ice cream, you know, shop, bread place, drink thing, and everything's free, right? All you can eat at all times of the day, everything's free, except for like cans and bottles, you know, you have to pay extra for that. And also every day, everything is new, right? There's never the same thing twice. So after we ate, we left the boat because this was like our first day. We went to a local mall called Plaza Las Americas, which happens to be the largest mall in all of the Caribbean. It's the second largest mall in the Latin American speaking world. We figured that'd be a good place to find some Spanish speak or some English speaking people, just because it was a big mall, right? It still wasn't that easy though. We did get one person saved in English and one person saved in Spanish. We only had a couple hours till the boat had to leave, so we went back to the boat and had our first dinner. And so there's a separate, outside of the buffet system, there's a separate kind of fancy dinner system where, you know, once per night you can sign up to this fancy, have reservations, and you're basically, you know, you're given a menu that has like starters, entrees, desserts, and you can order as much as you want because, again, everything's free. And, you know, some of the things we ate were steak, lobster, prime rib, salmon, beef Wellington, and we all pretty much ate an absurd amount of ice cream, but I have no regrets. So the basic itinerary for the boat's basically at each island from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., which leaves about 9 hours per day during the day, and then overnight is when the boat's going to the next one. So pretty much you wake up every morning, you're in a new country. So the itinerary that I set was pretty much from 8 to 9, we'd eat breakfast while it's arriving at port, and then we'd walk or taxi to town. 9 to 12, we'd go soul winning for about 3 hours. 12 to 2, we'd go back to the boat, we'd cool off, we'd eat lunch, and then we'd go back out. 2 to 4, we'd go out soul winning for another 2 hours. And then, you know, 4 to 5, we'd go back to the boat, leaving a little time, you know, you want to leave a little buffer in there. And then normally from there, you know, we'd pretty much shower, we'd eat at the dinner buffet, then we'd relax or do maybe a recreation. And then we'd go to the fancy dinner, like a second dinner, right? Then you'd eat like your dessert at the fancy place. Then you'd go back to the buffet for the post-dessert. And yeah, so we ate a lot. It was great. But because we split the day in half like that, we were able to, you know, as needed, kind of take a half day off. Like, oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm gonna sleep in, and I'm gonna start soul winning after lunch or this or that. And so we kind of alternated that. So we didn't go ultra hardcore in this thing. We probably did about 3 or 4 hours of soul winning per day. You definitely could do more. Like I said, you have over 9 hours on the island every day. But the thing is, right, the boat, everything's free. So at any point, you can just go back and you don't really have to spend money in a country. You can just go get it all free at the boat, which is nice. So the next thing I want to describe is pretty much how a port city works. There's always going to be like a tourist area, which is going to be like a few blocks or streets that are just, you know, where everyone's trying to sell you stuff. So it's not a very good idea to preach there just because all they want to do is sell you things. But outside of that, you're pretty much going to have a business area for all the locals where they shop. And then outside of that, it's probably going to be the residential area. And either of those would be great for soul winning. And now the ship can dock either directly in the tourist area or in like an industrial area where you'll have to either like walk for a half hour or take a taxi. And taxi is definitely the better option. But once you're in that tourist area, you pretty much just have to walk a few blocks in any direction, and you'll find great people to preach to. And obviously, if you're organizing the map, you should plan all that on Google My Maps, right? So the second day was our first port, which was Philipsburg, St. Martin. And since it was our first day, we made a couple mistakes. You know, we tried to stay out all day. We didn't kind of use that free lunch system, so we learned, right? And the second thing is we did walk. We did the far walk. We got blisters and didn't enjoy it. So, but that's how running a mission trip is, right? You have to kind of be adaptable and learn on the fly. And the other downside, though, is that because this was a Sunday, pretty much everything was closed. And I was really looking forward to St. Martin, too, because, like, right a couple blocks from the boardwalk is their main university. But it was all closed. We actually went and talked to, like, a security guard, but weren't able to really preach to anybody. But we did some soul winning in the business and residential areas, and we got 16 people saved there. And, you know, even I think we'd do much better on a weekday. I think this country still has a great opportunity there. So I definitely want to come back. And we wound up hanging out just on the boardwalk and the beach, you know, tourist area. And they're both very nice. Day three, we went to St. John's, Antigua. And unlike St. Martin, here, you know, once you're off the boat, you're right in the action. And so in the morning, we went soul winning in a residential area. But it was pretty much raining the whole time. So we were walking around with umbrellas. We got a few salvations in English, a few in Spanish. But we had to really work for it. But after lunch, though, we went soul winning, you know, just like right off the boat, just a couple blocks away, and they were just surrounded by what was apparently was when all the school kids got off their, off their school. So everyone was just, the streets were packed with students. And kind of like what Caleb said, you know, preaching to the students is really like a cheat code for missions, right? It's just like you're going to get a bunch of salvations. So because of that, you know, most of us thought this was the best island on the trip, right? Brother Mark said it felt like he was back in Fiji. So we had a total of 26 salvations, most of which were in the afternoon. So on day four, we went to Castries, St. Lucia. Now, this is another one where you want a taxi to the city. It's pretty far. But we started off in the morning, the same spot the previous Faithful Word trip went to. It was Derek Walcott Square. And a little background, you know, I had my honeymoon this year in St. Lucia. And while I thought the country was beautiful, I personally thought the soul winning was kind of awful. While we were there, you know, we had a lot of people get really confrontational about us and yell at us about eternal security. So I was kind of curious to see, like, is it going to be better this second time around? And unfortunately, it really wasn't. We had the same issues at this square. And, you know, this square had, like, two different Jehovah's Witness stands set up. You know, it had a lot of, like, Seventh-day Adventists we met. And just a lot of, like, Rastas I kept running into that I was sure were demon-possessed. And in my opinion, the Rastas are the worst of the three. But despite all that, we were still able to get a couple people saved, including a bus driver who gave us a free ride back to our ship. And then after that, you know, we tried a different tactic. Again, you gotta, if it's not working, you gotta change, right? So tried a different tactic. We went to a covered market where people were just like selling produce. And we were pretty much just selling to the stall people because there wasn't that many people buying stuff. And so we had really good success there. You know, there weren't really, I guess, heretics buying produce. So so we got a lot of salvations, are taking our total up to 21. But, you know, despite kind of a good number of salvations, most of us kind of ranked it pretty low because we all had pretty bad experience at some point or another, just people being mean to us. But the next day, though, we were in Bridgetown, Barbados, you know, and here we took the just $2 shuttle to the city, and, you know, there's large parks, a lot of people around, and unlike St. Lucia, you know, everyone's super friendly, and we had some really easy salvations. And we also walked a few blocks to just, like, a public beach, and it was really, I think a lot of us said it was one of the best beaches we've ever been to. You know, the water was really clear, the sand was really fine, it was really warm. But because we did that, you know, kind of on the fly, we kind of stayed out long, so we you know, had a late lunch, we went back, and then afterward, you know, it was kind of too late to go back out to the city with the bus, so then we just tried, we were in the industrial area, we're like, let's just try, you know, going around to these businesses and just preaching the industrial area, and we had a couple salvations there too, so even that worked out well. So I think I'd rank Barbados as the second best island. If we didn't run into all the school, you know, kids in Antigua, this would probably be the best island. Certainly it was, you know, it was the prettiest as well. So day six, you know, it's kind of our last country, was Rosio Dominica. I don't know how to pronounce it. This place, you know, is pretty rough in general. I think also we were, you know, with all these days in a row, pretty long days, we were pretty worn out. So we didn't really stray super far this day either. And we stayed pretty much on the main street, which was just like packed full of people. But because of that, everyone was really busy. No one really wanted to listen to you. And, you know, I had a lot of people that were, like, heckling me from across the street. I had, like, a lot of, like, Rastas would come up and, like, break up conversations and kind of ruin it. But we went up the street. We visited this botanical garden and saw some nature as our recreation. But because it was, like, you know, not very receptive and also was, like, incredibly hot, we didn't stay off the boat for very long. It was like, one of the few days we actually went to the boat, like, three times because it was just so hot. We needed the AC. So most of us would pretty much rank Dominica is our worst island. But we still had six salvations, and our last salvation today was kind of a really sweet woman who was just, like, crying the whole time. And so it was definitely worth it to us. You know, we still enjoyed it. Day seven was basically the one day that we had that was at sea, so we weren't on a country at all. But we tried to do, you know, some of the things on the boat. The boat has, like, tons of stuff to do, and we didn't utilize, you know, even a fraction of it. But we tried to find some of it, you know. So we watched a few live shows. We played pickleball. We did axe throwing. We had an archery competition. And obviously there's, like, ungodly things to do on the boat. You know, there's, like, a casino. But the boat's laid out in such a way that, you know, you could pretty much spend the whole week and never even see that stuff, you know. And, like, we didn't even go near the pool or the bars and stuff. So we didn't see, like, you know, really anything that we shouldn't. And honestly, like, you're going to see more bad stuff just on the Caribbean island than you are on the boat, just because the Caribbean's known for just kind of pot smoking and drunkenness and everything else. So I guess you have to take that how you will. One of the things that I enjoyed on the boat, though, is that all the workers had name tags, and the name tags said, obviously, their name, but it said, like, what country they're from. And pretty much the main countries they're from were India, Indonesia, Philippines, Zimbabwe, Kenya, and South Africa. So pretty all receptive countries. We didn't really do any preaching on them on the boat because they're all working, but at the last day, we did hand out a bunch of YouTube cards. But one of the things I was trying to do on the boat was pretty much be able to greet everyone in their own language. I would just try to see their name tag and try to greet them. And I have a whole list on them. But the funniest I thought was Indonesian, you know, to say what's up, you say apa kabar, and the answer is bike bike. So I thought that was fun. But anyway, day eight was our last day. We got back onto San Juan, Puerto Rico. This time we had to actually have all of our bags. So we just went to the same mall again. And we pretty much just, like, sat down at a table with all of our bags around. We tried a kind of new strategy. You know, I can only speak three sentences in Spanish, but I would pretty much go up, use those three sentences with somebody. If they kind of answered them right, I'd kind of point them over, and they'd basically sit down at a table with us. You know, Lolo would preach to them, and then they'd get saved. So we actually had two salvations entirely in Spanish like that. So it's a good system. We got a few more salvations there. So just as an overview, you know, you could see some of the countries we visited were great, some, you know, not so much. But what's great about this format is that you kind of get a little sample of each island, right? And if it's not receptive, well, you know, the next day everything resets. You don't have to, you know, go there again. And of course, obviously, if you find a hidden gem, then a church can transition and be like, hey, let's do a full, you know, week-long mission trip there. And I believe, you know, a cruise is a great first-time mission trip, either as a participant or as an organizer. Because, you know, one of the key metrics that we look for is just enjoyability. You know, we don't want people to come, get worked to the ground, and then never come again, right? We want people to become lifelong lovers of missions. And, you know, this was easily, like, one of our most enjoyable and kind of luxurious mission trips. You know, we all definitely want to go on a cruise again. And a little bit, you know, just kind of the background, like finances, right? You know, this is really a very cost-effective way. For the cruise itself, you know, I paid $1,300 for my wife and I. Our flights were $300 each and paid about $100 extra in, like, Ubers and taxis. So pretty much it was $1,000 per person. The Johnson family also paid the same. And, you know, I should note, obviously, if, like, it's a little more expensive if you try to have a single cabin. They'll charge you more, so you pretty much need to book with at least two people. But that's really as many people as you need. And as Brother Segura alluded to earlier, you know, a lot of people don't really realize how expensive some of these trips can be, especially in the Caribbean. Caribbean's a very expensive place, especially with, like, food. But here, you know, the best food that you can get, it's all free. And you can easily spend, you know, $1,500, $2,000 if you had to pay for everything yourself. But, you know, here, you know, and even if you pay that $1,500, you're probably in an Airbnb and you're probably eating, you know, ham sandwiches. You're not eating, you know, steak, lobster, and ice cream, so... But, you know, obviously we're blessed to have such a generous church who on a lot of these trips has paid a lot of those expenses. But without their help, you know, some of those trips wouldn't be financially viable just as, like, a solo person or two people, right? So maybe you go to a church that can't do all that supporting, or maybe you just want to run a trip on your own. You know, a cruise is a great, you know, alternate for that because it's all paid for just for one flat fee. So even, you know, whether it's two people or 20 people, you know, it's all the same price and pretty much the same way to organize it. And not to mention, you know, I think we all personally paid for our ticket just with the food that we ate. So the final thing is basically, you know, I think the best thing about the cruise is that it's like it's very scalable. You know, I talk a lot with Raymond over the years about just running trips and how this works. And, you know, if I was running a cruise trip and 100 people sign up, like, I'd hardly have to plan. But if 100 people signed up for a traditional trip, you know, it's kind of a logistical nightmare, right? There's, like, things like lodging, you know, like, yeah, there's hotels or Airbnbs. And while Airbnbs are cheaper, you know, Raymond's found out that if you just book too many at once, they just ban you for life. Like, you know, so it's kind of dangerous in that regard. And then also, for instance, rental cars, you know. Normally, with a trip like this, you know, if you're all driving around, you need to have one out of five people more or less sign up to be a driver. And, you know, that sometimes they might have to put their credit card on the line, their insurance policy on the line, and then they're driving in an unfamiliar and maybe stressful environment. And, you know, and I've done that in the past, and I've enjoyed it. Like, I enjoy driving, you know, left-hand stick shift and Nagaland, you know, on the left side of the road and up. You know, that was all fun, but now obviously not everyone, you know, may enjoy that. And many people really don't want to be pressured into driving. So, you know, a trip with no cars is great. And what's nice is that, you know, they drive you for you right on the boat. And, you know, finally, you know, obviously food's a big thing. You know, I know, you know, Raymond, for instance, you know, on a couple trips has kind of spent like a whole trip just buying food and transporting it to all the different Airbnbs and hotels and stuff and never really had a good chance to go soul winning. And, you know, I think that's not ideal. I like just leaving all the logistics to the cruise line and just enjoying kind of a stress-free but fruitful mission trip. And obviously it's not going to replace traditional missions, but I think it's a good way, especially if you're just starting out or you just want to try something and have very stress-free, you know, and not have to deal with all the kind of admin work that sometimes running a mission trip does. Because there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you don't really see. So kind of in closing, right, I think that, you know, I just hope you guys would consider, you know, this kind of new style of mission trip. You know, obviously I'm going to keep doing them. Probably the Johnsons are going to keep doing them. So hopefully you guys will come with us. So otherwise, thanks. God bless, right?
Yeah, I think it's such a great idea. You know, it's tailor-made for our philosophy around here of common sense missions and just the way it works out. And I mean, the price, I mean, $1,000 a person, it's pretty hard to plan a missions trip for less than $1,000. I mean, and so that's incredible. And I mean, do the math. They got like, what, 80 some people saved, right? Five people go out there for a week, get 80 some people saved. That's incredible results. And I like the idea of kind of sampling all the different mission fields. And then later you could send a big group to the good ones and whatever. And I really love what he said about how, you know, people that are in, say, an old IFB church where, you know, you're buying tracts to hand out even locally. They're selling you the tracts. You know, nothing's free with the old IFB, you know. You got, if there's ice cream after the service, you're paying for it, you know. And so the thing is, you know, if you're going to that type of a church where, let's say you're going to an old IFB church, you could literally just get together with a buddy. You and one, just a couple of dudes could just be like, hey, let's get a week off from work. We both got $1,000. You could do this. And it's like no excuse not to do a DIY mission trip. I think it's great. And you could get four people, two people, six people. It's scalable. Like he said, you're not going to be like, whoa, there's too many people coming. And I've been to these ports. I've never been on a cruise, you know, full disclosure. So I don't know what that's like. Sounds great, though. But I've never done it. But I have definitely been to these port cities because I've been on soul winning trips where the ship is right there, and I see the people kind of getting off the ship and getting on the ship. And so I know exactly how these cities work. And like he said, you literally walk like 10 minutes, and you're out of the tourist area, and you are in that country, and you are deep into that country after walking for 10, 15 minutes, and it's like two different worlds where everybody's poor, it's all the locals and whatever. You just get out of that tourist zone. But 99% of the people on the cruise, they're staying in that tourist zone. I've always found that getting out of the tourist areas is a more authentic experience anyway. Like whenever I travel to other countries, I'm actually more interested in kind of getting the real life than just seeing a bunch of like, I want to say Sehenswürdigkeiten. I never can think of a good word for that in English, Anzo. You know, the sights, I guess you could say. And so I always want to, you know, see the real stuff. For me, it's so much more fun to go sit in someone's living room in a foreign country and kind of experience their house and their life and their family and eat a home-cooked meal is way cooler than just, hey, let's go look at, you know, Mount Rushmore or, the pyramids or whatever. And so I love this idea. I hope that people online are listening to this. I hope that you guys are listening to this and realizing how this is something you could probably successfully execute with a week off work and, you know, $1,000, maybe $1,500, and you could really have a lot of fun and probably get a bunch of people saved and do valuable recon that you can then tell us about and tell other soul winning churches about and tell us which islands are good, which ones are dead. That information is gold. So thank you very much, Brother Rowe. Really appreciate that. Let's just sing one more song, and then let's go ahead and get into the Brother Sigur's sermon. Do we have one more song? Yeah, we can tally up the soul winning quickly as well. Any soul winning to report from today that I could tally up quickly? All right, let me just mount this. All right, we got boom, boom, boom. Did you have something? Okay, I see that. All right. Anything? Oh, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. All right. Got it. All right. Anything else from today? All right, very good. Let's sing one more song, and then we will read our scripture and hear from Brother Segura.
All right, you should find the insert in front of your hymnal with the hymn entitled, "We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations." So we'll sing this out together. We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their heart to the right.
Time we're going to read our scripture. It sounds like it's Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter number 9. It's not Mark 9, Matthew 9. All right. Matthew chapter number 9. And Brother Nick will read. You follow along silently as he reads. Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse number 1.
Matthew chapter 9, the Bible reads, "And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went on, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the city and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for all the souls that were won. Lord, just please just be with us and fill Pastor our brother Segura with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So while I'm walking up here, just want to say once again, thank you to everyone that's here. Your support means a lot. Thank you to Pastor Anderson again for having a vision for missions, a missions conference. I believe it is well needed. And thank you once again to all the workers that have sacrificed all the way to 2 in the morning. And I can't thank you guys enough. Desiree, I cannot thank you enough. Mrs. Madison, I cannot thank you enough. Everybody who's helped, I cannot thank you enough. I really do appreciate you guys, and it's amazing to see you guys work. Amen? Amen. All right, so right now, Matthew chapter number 9. I want you to meet me in verse number 35. And don't worry, I got 30 minutes. Amen? 30 minutes. Matthew 9, verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And the title of my sermon is this: Prayer and Fasting. Prayer and Fasting. Soul winning in Medellin, Colombia. Soul winning in Medellin, Colombia. And so this is not a sermon that's going to be telling you to go fasting before or during or even after you do a missions trip. Amen. So you can relax, all right? Because one of the most important things of a missions trip is not to fast. Enjoy the trip. Enjoy the ice cream, the lobster, and the steak, and all that good stuff that Brother, Roe mentioned. You know, but in regards to this verse, the reason I wanted to start out with this verse is because this is the verse that I thought of when I saw the multitudes. And one of the things that missions will help you, it'll help you get compassion. It'll help you with humility. It'll help you to appreciate life. You know, if you're going through a hard time or you become an individual that constantly complains and this seems to come out of your mouth every week, man, this sucks. Man, this sucks. Man, this sucks. You might be thinking too much of yourself, and get your eyes off yourself and let's put on the multitude. Amen? Amen. And that's one of the things that when I went soul winning in South Africa happened to one of the soul winners. You know, they were in that mood where it's like, man, work sucks. Work sucks. I got to get out of here. I need a break. I'm like, let's go to South Africa. I don't know, man. I don't know if I need that right about now. Well, let me just fast forward. We went to South Africa. We started helping people. And sure enough, he had to turn around the corner and walk away from us because he broke down in tears. Yeah, we saw him. He's crying, you know, when he saw the young kids, the unsaved. Man, it was a blessing for him to feel like he's finally doing something and he realizes true purpose of being here on this planet, and that's to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Amen. You know, but as you see right there, it says that Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. And I know there's a lot of people that are probably listening online, even people here that are thinking, man, I would love to do these missions trips. I really want to go and save people. I really want to go on these things. It's just the budget. It's just this. It's just that. It's just whatever. You know, but all I can tell you is, hey, you know what? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. What am I saying? I'm saying if you can't go physically, how about by praying? Amen. By praying and saying, hey, Lord, send people, you know, out there. If you can't send me or if I'm not the one to go, send people, raise up people, get people money, tax refunds, whatever. You know, rich billionaire that gets saved, donates $1 billion to Faithful Word, we got you. Hey, I just want to make sure that if it never happens, that ain't because of my unbelief, all right? Make sure it ain't you when we get to heaven. Lord, what happened with that $1 billion prayer I kept asking? Well, it's because of him, her, him in the back with the arms all crossed. I'm just saying. Let it not be you, right? But you don't have to go on a missions trip. You know, just go to Luke 15 if you can. If you can get there really quickly. If not, stay where you're at. In fact, if you have your Bible, go to Matthew 17. Go to Matthew 17. Wait for me at verse number 14. But for the rest of you guys that are fast enough to go to Luke 15, 10, this is what it says. "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over how many sinners? One sinner that repenteth." Now, I believe this is talking about salvation, not just sin. Amen? Because, yes, we love people getting right with the Lord, but, man, rejoicing in the presence of God. Who are those people doing the rejoicing? Well, we know it ain't the angels, and I highly doubt it's the devils or the devil. So the only people that are left are who? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and those have gone before us. Amen? Hey, this is how we keep heaven happy. Keep winning souls. You don't have to be in a missions trip. Win them here, and, hey, they'll be rejoicing in the presence of heaven. That's what you should be doing, and not worrying too much about what you can't do and worry about what you can do. But in the same time, hey, pray for people to go. Pray, Lord, raise up these people. Hey, send them out there. I would love to go, but if not me, send someone, because this world is huge. And it hit me hard when I was in my hotel, and we were up, I believe we were like maybe on the ninth floor. I went to get breakfast, and I had breakfast on the ninth floor. And obviously they have like a big opening where you can see the city. And I've seen pictures of Medellin before I went there, and they were cool until I got there. Then it was really cool seeing how crazy, and I cannot describe it. I thought Dubai looked awesome when I was staring out the window with all these fancy buildings, all these amazing looking buildings. I was like, wow, you know, this is insane what man can do. But when I got to Medellin and I was looking all over the place, I was unbelievably impressed just how many buildings are just in this small valley. So many buildings, it just blew my mind. And I was thinking, Lord, how in the world are we going to reach all these people? Look how many houses are out there. Look how many buildings are out there. And I was moved with compassion. I was just like, wow. Like, it just woke me up that we have a big job to do. There's so many people on this planet. We don't have time to waste on silly stuff. Let's get refocused, recharged, and go out there and reach them. Amen? Yeah. I'll get into why it's called prayer and fasting in a second. Don't worry. But if you're right there in Matthew 17, because maybe you are saying out there in YouTube land or even here, you know what? I am praying, Brother Segura. You know, I am asking God to send me or to send some people to every single spot on this planet, because we know that God wants elders in every city. Yeah, I am doing those things. Well, yeah, well, great. You know, then I guess the only thing I could say is just keep doing it. But I also want to talk about something else that we may have to do if praying doesn't seem to be getting the job done. Matthew 17, 14 says this. And there were come to the multitude that came to him, and certain men kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So maybe you are praying. I'm just doing a quick spot check. Maybe you should ask yourself, if you're praying with maybe even anything in your life and nothing seems to be moving, maybe you should ask yourself, are you just praying? Or do you have an issue of unbelief? Unbelief. Because that's more than one time where Jesus said, hey, listen, according to your faith, according to what you believe, I am going to do this. Are you telling me right now that you believe I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, I believe you're able to do it. And sometimes I do pray, but I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I kind of check myself and I ask myself, man, do I even believe that God can do this or is going to do it? Because I need to slap myself and realize that God can do anything, amen? Amen? But sometimes we get in those moments where it's like, man, I just don't know if God would do this, you know? Or even worse, could he do this? That's even worse to say that. But let's just get refocused. And then maybe you are thinking to yourself, well, I do pray, because that's what I'm thinking. You know, I'm thinking, man, I don't know who's out here in this country. I know that we have some people. We have Christians in every nation. And I'm wondering if they're thinking that, man, you know, should we even try to get the gospel to all of Medellin? I mean, it is huge. Just from that hotel, just looking, I was just blown away. Took my breath away. You know, I saw the multitudes and I realized, wow, what a big job. And I'm thinking, man, it's going to take a miracle, you know, to reach everybody in this city. Yet the world, because it's just a small percentage of what the world is. Yes, it's a big city, but man, compared to the world, it's not a big part of the world, but still it's a big job when you're just able to look at everything all at once. See, here we're just here on the ground. We don't really see the homes or anything like that, but here you can see them just about everywhere. It was just unbelievable. But maybe you're saying to yourself, well, I am praying. I know for a fact I'm praying, and I do believe God can do it. Well, that's great. But then if you want me to bring up something else, I'm just going to bring it up because this could be the issue. And it could be what? It just could be sin. You know, you could have some sin because, you know, sin does hinder our prayers. And really quickly, let me just go over some. One of the things that God obviously tells us will hinder our prayers clearly is in Psalm 66, 18. It says this, if I regard iniquity, what is iniquity? In simple words, iniquity means sin or wrongdoing. It's when someone does something morally wrong, especially if they know is wrong, but choose to do it anyways. Any questions? We need to make sure we're not that person. We need to make sure we're not that person that says, yeah, I know it's wrong, but I'm still going to put on a dress and tell my brother to put on a dress so I can go piss off my church. That did happen, in case you're wondering. I just heard that from somebody that doesn't like the church anymore, pretending like he liked being here, and then he does an interview and says, yeah, I know it's wrong, but I was thinking of putting on a dress and walking around Walmart with a dress just to piss off Faithful Word Baptist Church. That's an example of iniquity right there. Knowing it's wrong and spending God's money, because every penny has a purpose, to go to Walmart and buy a dress, and you and your brother are going to put them on, and you're going to walk around in front of Faithful Word Baptist Church just to piss us off? That's some iniquity right there. Good night. But what's it say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So maybe you are praying. Well, are you doing something you know is wrong, but you refuse to get it right? If so, you need to get rid of it. It's not worth it. It's not worth hindering your prayers. The Bible says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let me just explain what it's saying. Saying sorry is not enough. That's confessing your sins. It says clearly, and forsaketh them. They're going to have mercy. So maybe you live in Medellin. You're like, man, look at this city. We need to reach our people. But there's no way I can do it all by myself. Well, first thing you need to start out is start praying. Start praying and say, God, we need help. Send forth the laborers into the harvest. It's a big city, and I can't do it all by myself. We just can't. We could have so many missions trips down there, and we're not even going to come close to knocking out that city. We're just not. And maybe you're saying, well, I am praying, but nothing seems to be happening. Well, let's do a sin check. Let's just make sure it's not that. And one of the things, once again, is iniquity. Another thing is being an unforgiving person. Let me just read really quickly. Mark 11, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Simple enough. If you don't forgive, don't bother praying. I can't forgive this person. I've heard people say that. I can forgive, but I can't forgive you for what you did. And I've heard people say, if you do this, I'll never forgive you, and I'll hate you forever. Well, God will never forgive them and probably hate them forever. And plus, this person that said that, I don't believe is saved. And another one that we kind of maybe forget about is an improper husband-wife relationship. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. Be not hindered. And it just blows me away when people can say, hey, I know this person. He ain't having a good relationship with his wife. He ain't having a good time in his marriage. You know, but the guy seems to be prospering. I'm going to be thinking, no, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for you to say that this man ain't prospering, or he has an improper relationship, you know, with his wife, but yet we see a lot of prospering. And hey, listen, I just confirmed that Pastor Jimenez canceled the red hot preaching. All right, he just canceled it. But never fear, my dear, Brother Segura is here. Let me just tell you what's better than a red hot preaching conference. A red hot missions conference, okay? And let me just explain this little verse, because this is one of the reasons why I know there's nothing wrong with Pastor Anderson. This is why I can stand tall and say that his marriage is doing phenomenal. Amen. Phenomenal. And it's doing great. I'm not saying his marriage has been perfect. And guess what? I found out a long time that his marriage wasn't perfect. You know who told me? You know who actually told us? It was Pastor Anderson who told us. He told us behind this pulpit and said, hey, listen, don't have this crazy fantasy that your marriage is going to be picture perfect if you marry the perfect guy. Bad things are going to happen. But don't be a quitter and fix it. Don't make excuses. Fix it. But I didn't need Pastor Anderson or Mrs. Anderson to tell me, hey, our marriage is doing better than ever. You know, it's doing great. You know, it's doing awesome. It's doing phenomenal. He didn't need to tell me that. You know why? Because of this verse. Because of this verse. Because it says if you have an improper relationship with your wife, God's not going to hear you. Your prayers are going to be hindered. You're not going to prosper. Amen. It's just not going to happen. And when I look at his life, I'm thinking, man, if there's one person that's prospering in this world, it's that man over there. But that would be impossible if he had a super bad relationship with his wife. It would be impossible to do that. And the stuff that I've seen is simple. This is stuff that happened while he's married. Well, let's start off before he got married. If he's such a horrible person before he got married, then why does the Bible say that he will give you desires of your heart? And I know Pastor Anderson, he wanted to marry a woman that's smart, loves God, works hard, serves God, and that's what he got, amen.
Amen.
I guess God must love him to answer that prayer. Okay, how about this one? He wanted to start a church. Enough said. Look at faithful word. Are we doing good or what?
Amen.
I think God answered that prayer, didn't he?
Yeah.
And when did he start it? At what age? Does anybody know? 24? Can you confirm back there? 24, huh? How long you been married by the time it was 24? 4 years? Let's just say four. He got married at 19. All right, he got married at 19. Hey, didn't I say he's not perfect? I just wanted to prove it, all right? I just proved it in case you were wondering if I thought it was perfect. But all I'm trying to say is simple. He said, Lord, I want to start a church because it's a need. It's a need. He didn't just get a church. He got the best church on the planet.
Amen.
You think that's going to happen if his prayers are being hindered? You think that's going to happen if he has an improper relationship like everybody's crying about?
Nope.
Sorry, Robinson. I think you have an improper relationship. Sorry, McMurtry. I think you have an improper relationship. Sorry, all you bunch of losers like Matt First. I think you have an improper relationship. Why? Because you guys don't seem to prosper no matter how hard you try. I think your marriage is screwed up. I think you and your wife need to talk. I think y'all need to get right with the Lord. Because McMurtry likes to flex and be like, hey, as long as I've been in this ministry, brother, let me tell you some stuff that I know. That's not a flex. That's a red flag. Because guess what? You've been so long, you should know better. But you ain't prospering. Nobody even barely knows who you are. You suck at YouTube. You suck at Rumble. Do you prosper in anything? Don't even give me a Mark First. Does that guy even know where his church is at? Does anybody know if he even have soul winning? Last time I was trying to look up, does he have any soul winning videos? Amen. You heard that? Zero soul winning. Zero. Amen. Hey, I'm not going to let you miss the Red Hot Preaching Conference. All right? It's about to get hot. So this bozo, Mark First, I'm trying to figure out, does he have any Bible Way to Heaven videos? Does he have anything out there? You know what I can't? You know the only video I found? This guy, this video was labeled Mark First Soul Winning versus NIFB. And it was him telling the story how he went to the supermarket. Who's heard this story? He goes to the supermarket, right? And the guy behind the register is a man in a dress. It's a tranny. So that motivates him to get him saved. He goes to his car and gets a track. And he's praying, Lord, I don't want to get this person, but if I do, I'm going to be ready, or something like that. So he ends up getting this tranny to take care of his groceries or whatever. And he's like, hey, here, read that when you get a chance, okay? That'll help you. Amen. And he leaves. And here's his story. There are some people out there, you guys, who believe these people are reprobate. I don't know if he's reprobate. Only God knows, because I never read Romans 1. Well, he didn't say Romans 1. I added that part. But that's what he says. I don't know if he's reprobate. I can't figure it out. I don't know what this NIB crowd is talking about. I'm going to tell you right now, God is the only one that knows he's reprobate. And you know what? Let's just say he is reprobate, right? Okay. Well, let's just say he is, and he never gets saved. Hey, the only thing that it cost me was a piece of paper. But I did soul winning, baby. I did soul winning. Let's put that man on the cruise and get him out there. Damn! Cut the check, baby! Let's do this! That guy belongs on a cruise for 6 months. So you're insane. I get these emails. Oh, Pastor Anderson, you should step down. Pastor Anderson, you're a great man of God for many years. Pastor Anderson, I listened to you for many, many years. You're a great man of God, but you have failed to whatever, rule your house. Hey, idiot, that's impossible. Have you not read? If you can't rule your own house, you won't be able to take care of the church of God. And has he taken care of the church of God very well?
Amen.
It's impossible. You have a higher chance of finding the Loch Ness Monster than you do a great man of God who sucks at parenting. It's just facts. Suck it up, buttercup. That's what the Bible says. But the fact that he's prospering in many areas, hey, he wanted to be a good pastor. Well, guess what? God answered that and then some, because he's the best pastor. You're like, that's how you feel, you stinking Kool-Aid drinker. Well, let me tell you the facts, homie. Everything he does seems to prosper. We just started Rumble, and I'm not trying to say that these other churches suck at Rumble, but he surpassed these other churches, and we're late to the Rumble game. Facts. Our worst channel is our YouTube channel that we create whenever. And sometimes that channel, in 24 hours, a throwaway channel, a channel we don't care about, a channel we create just because people love YouTube, that thing gets more views than people that have been on the internet with their channels. Our crappiest throwaway channel beats all these guys. I think they're having marriage problems. Robinson, how many views do you get? How many views do you get, Przanski? How many views do you get? What's the guy? You know, are you my friend? Well, that depends. Who is that guy? Jones. Jones only gets views because guess what? Pastor Anderson prospers so much, other people prosper off of him. But you want me to think that he has this horrific, terrible marriage? But yet God has allowed him to start a great church. God answered his prayer to have a smart, a wife that loves God, works hard, serves God. He wanted to be a good preacher. God took it to the next level. He's the best preacher. If he ain't, show me who is. Sorry, Pastor Manager, you're a great preacher, but no. Sorry, bro, no. I'm be honest with you. Sorry, no. Great preacher. You're right there. He's a 10, you're a 9.5. I do love you, man. Hey, he wanted to get one person saved. And, I mean, he gets people saved now in his sleep. Who got saved from a video from Pastor Anderson? Look at that. While Pastor Anderson was sleeping with his lovely wife, then people are getting saved, and he's just snoring. When he gets to heaven, everybody's going to be like, that's your mansion? Yeah, how come it grows every day? Social media. He's going to tell the Apostle Paul, YouTube. It's like, YouTube? He knows what YouTube is. I'm sure somebody told him by now. He wanted to destroy the pre-trib rapture. Enough said, right? But God ain't allowing, but God is hindering his prayers, right? He wanted to start a great soul winning movement. Hey, somebody almost got killed in the Bahamas trying to copy our soul winning movement, right? Copy on. Hey, there's nothing wrong with having role models. Copy on. Do your thing, right? He wanted to start a great missions movement. What do we have here now? The Red Hot Missions Conference, amen? It was just born tonight. We're taking it to the next level. We're doing missions trips on cruises, baby. Woo! Cruises have existed since I've known them. But yet the other guys did nothing with it. This man, we're doing something with it. Oh, but God is hindering his prayers. Improper husband wife relationship. Whatever. Believe what you want. It's going to be my next YouTube channel name. Facts, right? Listen, if you are an unforgiving person, God won't hear you. If you have iniquity in your heart, God won't hear you. If you have an improper husband-wife relationship, God won't hear you. And if you're cold towards the Bible, God won't hear you. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Notice it says, hear, hear. You come to church, but you're not here to hear, your prayer is an abomination. I don't care how many of our haters claim, well, God's answering my prayer. I just don't like listening to the NIV. I don't like listening to this or that. No, he ain't listening to you because you don't want to hear God's word. You don't want to hear his law. Amen? Amen? Let me just finish up what Jesus said. Hey, how about this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting? So a city like Medellin or any other city that's huge, that's like, it's going to take a miracle to reach all these people. Well, start with prayer. I am. How about your sin? Hey, good there. Then you know what? There's only one thing left, and I hate to bring it up, but it's fasting. It's fasting. Let's take a look at an example. Go to Jonah 3. I have to confess my sin so the Lord can continue to help me. I am not going to make my 30-minute challenge, but I'm going for 35. So I'm going to quickly get to where I want to be. Jonah 3. Obviously, that's where Jonah preaches. And sure enough, he says, hey, it's going to get destroyed. The king hears about it. He's like, hey, this is what I want. He said that it caused it to be proclaimed, you know, throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, I don't know how long they fasted, but let's just call it a day. This is one day fasting, right? I'm not saying that God commands you to do this. I'm not even saying for sure that I know that this is why God answered their prayer, because they were fasting. But I'll tell you one thing, God did answer their prayer, because they weren't just saying, I'm sorry. They actually turned from their sins and were serious. And we're serious. And when you fast, hey, it makes you a little humble, doesn't it? Maybe that's what they did. They're like, hey, we're about to all die. It's worth a try. And those people that are in Medellin, you know what? Pray. You know what? Get the sin out of your life. And but at the end of the day, if you fast, nothing works. You know what? It's better to try, you know, than to die. Just give it a shot. Because if I were you, that's what I would do. If I was that broken and I just took a look at your city, just for 1 second, I was like, wow, look at all these people. Dubai was like, wow, look at all these buildings. But there it was, wow, look at all these people. Good night. I feel bad for them. You know, they have no shepherd. They have no Pastor Anderson for them. Good night. I'm like, what are we going to do? But another person I want you guys to look at is Esther. If you can, go to Esther 4. I'll just get to the part that I want to get to. If you can, go ahead and go to 16. It's the story of Esther. Mordecai says, hey, there's been an order. We're all going to die. Haman's trying to kill us all. Then Esther says, hey, listen, this is what I want you to do. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, you know, 3 days, night or day. I also, my maidens, will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, and which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. And you know the story. God saved them. God answered her prayer. But she showed God she was serious, and she showed God she was serious. Well, not just fasting, but good night, fasting 3 days and three nights. I'll just read from Samuel 30:11. It's a funny, interesting story. Well, it ain't funny, but it's an interesting story. It's about this guy that gets brought to David that was captured. It was an Egyptian. And it said this, that they gave him a piece of cake and figs, two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And we know that David sometimes, you know, represents Jesus. And it almost reminds me of the story of Nineveh, where you got this guy who's literally not eating or drinking anything for 3 days and three nights, and then comes David and saves him. I don't know if it's related, but it's an interesting story I'm just throwing out there for you to look at. And obviously, the person that fasted for sure, no food, no water for 3 days and three nights, and we know for sure he wasn't having fun, and it was super painful, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. For 3 days and three nights, where was he? Exactly. And we know that hell is not a fun place, because look what it says in Luke 16. It says simply, Father Abraham, mercy on me and Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Hey, it's not fun to be tormented, especially when you just want to cool your tongue and you're dying of thirst. But let's get into some fun facts about Medellin, amen? Amen. All right, enough about fasting, just throwing it out there. Listen, everybody out there, if you're praying and you're right with the Lord, who knows? It doesn't hurt to at least try a day of fasting, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., I don't know, or 7 a.m. to 7 a.m., I don't know. But if I was in that country, if I was in that city, and no one's starting up a church, no man of God is stepping up, you know what, I'm just going to take it to the Lord, be like, Lord, I'm going to pray, and you know what, I'm going to fast. But please don't tell no one, because he ain't going to hear if you do. That's just facts. But hey, Medellin, I'm going to start with the things that I like. I think these are things that we all should know about. And number one, starting with the weather. Medellin, Colombia, often referred to as La Ciudad de la Eterna Primavera, which means the city of eternal springs, enjoys mild spring-like climate throughout the year. The average annual temperature in Medellin is around 73 degrees Fahrenheit. Hey, that was awesome when we were there. But there is a problem. They have some pretty good storms down there, and we got soaked. We got soaked like jumping in the pool type soaked. It was really bad when it came to the rain. So this period is from April to May, where it rains really bad, and it can make soul winning really hard, because nobody wants to talk to you when it's pouring cold water from the sky. So avoid those months, April through May. Please avoid them. Don't go there if you're going to go. That is not the time to go. We went around June, I believe, and man, were we soaked. So the weather's awesome. Just don't go between April and May. Amen. As far as religion, according to a 2020 survey, Roman Catholicism rules 57%, but it's not a whole bad thing because they are easy to get saved. Evangelical Christianity is about 50%. Other religions, about 3.4%. That's Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witnesses, et cetera, et cetera. And like I like to mention, the cost was similar to going to Santo Domingo. It's about the same, $650 or something like that for the flight. Hotels, obviously we stayed at a really nice hotel. And we did that for safety, and we did that because they served breakfast, so it kind of saved a little bit of money, so we didn't have to go out there and buy it. And we stayed at the Holiday Inn Express Suites in Medellin. Why? Because it's really easy to get there, and I recommend this hotel all day, every day, because it's safe, it's clean. You know, I don't know if they provide breakfast. Oh, they do. So I was already on top looking at the whole city. You know, it has a great view. And also at the restaurant at the base, there's restaurants you could just go and eat, making life easy for me. Because I don't really know much, or I didn't know much about the country, barely nothing. I barely even knew how to say the name. I kept saying Medellin. You know, next thing you know, it's Medellin. Now it's Medellin. Is it the last one, Evelyn? Okay. Finally got it right. Medellin. And so when it comes to what we did, is the first day, we just got there, went to eat, pretty much went to the hotel because it was dark. Next day, we didn't really know where to go, so we kind of figured, okay, let's go somewhere popular, some place that people like to check out when they come to Colombia. So there was this place called Pueblo Escobar. And so we went there, and obviously it was a big thing about Pablo Escobar. Now, here's the thing about Pablo Escobar. Not everybody likes him over there, so I was afraid to even mention him. It was just a popular area that people like to go to. So I'm thinking, sure, why not? Let's go check it out. Obviously, if he's building this town for people that are poor, hey, poor people usually mean receptive, so we decided to go check it out. And it was pretty receptive. We liked it. We got a lot of people saved. Sure enough, that was day one. The next day, I just left it up to Dustin. Dustin kind of did a quick recon as best he could, but I knew, hey, this place, we don't really know anything about it. And what I like to do, I like to take people places that I kind of know where we can get something to eat, kind of know where we can go to the bathroom. But in this case, I left it all to Dustin. He did the recon. He's like, hey, man, I think I found a place, this park. I think it'll be good. I'm like, all right, let's go. And it was what it was. All we can do is pray. But the one thing he failed to tell me was that it was 30 minutes away from the hotel. By Rome is 828, right? If I would have known that, I kind of asked him 20 minutes into the ride. Like, man, how far is this place? He said, 30 minutes. I'm like, bro, I don't feel comfortable going 30 minutes away from the hotel because this is Colombia, and it's not exactly the safest place in the world. But, oh, well, we're 10 minutes away. Let's see what you got. So we started going to this area, this park that he found. And while we're, like, going there, we ended up seeing a school. So we saw this school, and we're like, whoa, they're just getting out. And I just said it. Yo, man, you can leave us here. So the taxi driver's like, whoa, but that place is like 7 minutes away. No, we're good, we're good. Stop the car right here, no big deal. Hey, just let us out. You know, here's the money, whatever, trying to pay him, get him to stop. So he stops, we get out. And I'm thinking, hopefully these guys forgive me, right? So being the people that were with me, being the people that they are, as soon as we get out, I'm like, yo, guys, sorry, but I think this is a good spot. They were thinking, hey, we're about to tell you to stop right here too. Let's go to work. Boom, everybody starts attacking all the students. And we pretty much were there from like 11 a.m. all the way to 5 p.m. So we got some people saved. So it was so good. Next day, it's like, hey, where you guys want to go? Let's go back there. And the reason we decided to go back there is because they did have a little strip where there were, like, places to get something to eat. And those places, when you buy something, will let you use the bathroom. You know, but the other thing that I also like, it was a school. And the other thing that I really like is the school had a police department right across it. So there were cops all over the place. And I was happy with that because I don't know if this area was safe or not. So I'm like, hey, this is a perfect spot. We got police. Ain't nobody going to mess with us. And we got a school, plenty of kids to talk to, and it's a busy street, so we're just going up to everybody that would just pass by us and see if they wanted to get saved, and sure enough, that worked very well. It worked so good that they wanted to go back the third day. I'm like, all right, let's go back the third day. You know, so we went back the third day. From there, 11 to 7 p.m., same thing, kids get out. We start talking to the kids, but the principal was kind of getting a little bit upset because we're just going up to the kids with no permission, and I can understand them, so we really weren't too mad at them. But he told us, hey, I don't mind you guys talking to the kids, but please do it off property because the parents are getting mad. They're like, hey, these random kids are just being approached by these people with Bibles. We don't even know who they are. We're like, fair is fair, no problem. So we stayed out there. And he didn't tell us not to talk to the kids. He just said, I'm doing their property because I'm getting in trouble. So it worked so well. It was what it was. We decided to stay there again. So we didn't even go anywhere. And I'm thinking, well, do you guys want to do some recreation? I mean, there's not really anything that I know of except going to see some scumbag, you know, dead billionaire's ex-mansion where there's a bunch of hippos. And they're like, nah, we'd rather get people saved. No hippos? Man, I really want to see a hippo. But according to Netflix, hippos don't like Mexicans. So I'm like, nah, I don't really like them. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. Some of you may not. Come ask me and I'll tell you. So anyways, that's what our trip was. So we went there and that's kind of how it went. We just did that. Then Saturday came and we all went home and we lived happily ever after. So the bad, here's the bad. That place is dangerous and it's getting worse. The reason I like this verses with Nineveh is because last year in 2023, they averaged a murder every 10 days. Every 10 days. 2024 right now, from different reports, they average a murder every 6 days. 6 days. And guess who it is? Gringos. They don't like gringos down there. And here's the other thing that I might as well bring up. Colombia is known as the world's largest, I guess we can say it, whorehouse. Prostitution is big down there. And that is not good. So the reason I wanted to use Nineveh or Jonah's story is because that place kind of made me think of Nineveh, where it's violent, sin. I don't know. I didn't say anything about prostitutes, but you can probably take it to the bank that Nineveh probably had a lot of crime, and that was probably part of it. But the formula is there to try to save that city. And anybody that's in that city, just look at Jonah. You might want to learn from him to do something about your high crime, getting worse city, because it ain't going to get better from what they think. Because everybody's going there to commit crimes. And a lot of it is obviously crimes of fornication, prostitution, whoredom, all that stuff. You know, but would I recommend it? I guess my answer is this. No. If you don't love souls, I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. And praise God, anybody that would want to go there probably loves souls. Because the reason that these people are getting killed, a lot of them is because they love cocaine and they love prostitutes. And guess what? We don't love cocaine, and we don't love prostitutes, so you shouldn't be afraid to go there unless you're going there for the wrong reasons. Because if you love Christians and you love people, you're the perfect person to go to Medellin. And you will love it, and you'll get a lot of people saved. Now, how many salvations did you get, Brother Chris? I don't know. I stopped counting. But all I can tell you is that there was a cool little idea of bringing one of their national flags. And every time we got somebody saved, we had a runner that would keep an eye on all the soul winners. Like, oh, man, they're bowing their heads. Boom, just take off over there. Get him saved and ask him for a favor. And we would just tell all these people, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you sign my flag? Because I'm having a missions conference. I mean, a red-hot missions conference. And I would love to have something to remember you guys by. And that's what we decided to do, just run around. Get all these people saved, and there's about 90 names on here. I don't know how many people. If you want to clap, clap. I never had nobody clap before. Okay, yeah, sure. Sorry. Eric did the old. Am I doing that good of a job? All right, clap. But it is what it is. This is why I recommend you go. There's not going to be cool activities out there. It's too dangerous for you to be doing anything out there. If you're a gringo, you're a target. I'm just telling you that right now. You have a Apple Watch, oh, you're going to get robbed. Better take it to the bank. And you might as well show up looking presentable, because if you show up looking sloppy and you're a foreigner, they don't really like you over there. They kind of have that national pride where they want to look good, smell good. So if some sweaty American shows up with shorts and flip-flops, oh, you ain't gonna have an easy time. I'm just warning you, they have a little too much pride in their hearts. And I'm not attacking anybody here if you're going flip-flops. I'm just telling you, to them, it's not a cool thing. They think that's for children. That's the way they see us. So be careful going down to Colombia. But if you do, I believe you're going to love it. And I'm just telling you, do what I did. Go to the same hotel. You'll love it. Take a cab. We'll figure out where that place was that has a school and a police right across from it. And we thought about knocking doors. I thought about just walking a street or so. We did that. And then we saw a bunch of young guys in a group drinking. We're like, we're out. Because that's the one thing they tell you, watch out for. Watch out for young people in groups. And if you're a gringo, you don't want them to see you. So we went back to the police area and increased our chances of surviving. So the thing about Colombia or Medellin is it is a high crime area, but we didn't really see anything. And I guess if there's anything else that's dangerous, it's, man, if you get a taxi driver and he thinks he's Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious, just close your eyes and enjoy the ride, because that's exactly what happened to us. And I always wondered how cool it would have been to be in that patrol vehicle where Pastor was being hauled off to get deported because he's talking about they were driving super fast. I don't need to wonder anymore. He thought it was cool because he's rolling with 5-0. He's rolling with the po-po, with the police. I got this crazy cab driver that thinks he's Vin Diesel, and that's probably why he shaved his head. And I'm like, this dude is going to kill us, bro. And I'm just like, oh, man, he's like swerving, going left, right. I'm like, this guy's insane. He's honking at people. Muévete, muévete. You know, he's like, oh, good night, bro. He's coming like centimeters from hitting people's side mirrors. I'm like, this guy is crazy. He must be high off that coca. Did we get the coca cab driver? Hey, praying and fasting definitely comes in that situation. Because he made me so nervous, I didn't want to eat for the rest of the day. But these missions trips are great. If you can do them, do them. You come to Faithful Word. You donate to Faithful Word. Your money's going to these people, hands down. You know, we're not a bunch of nobodies that talk a big game but do nothing. We're the real deal. We're the real stinking deal. Always have been and always will. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. You cannot thank you enough for such a great pastor, such a great family. Lord, you are the best, and we want to just do our best to please you, Lord. And we ask you, Father, to just help everybody do missions in their lives before their life is over here, Lord. It's just a great blessing to be able to go to these different countries and get people saved and rescue the perishing, pull them out of the fire. And we ask you, Lord, to do this for everyone who's your children in their lifetime. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Let's sing our song books together. Go to hymn 390, number 390. And we'll sing together, Have I Done My Best for Jesus? Number 390 begins, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Hymn 390. Lift your voice on that verse together now. Number 390.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary. I know my Lord expects the best from me.
Chain I bound to free.
and sing tonight, we are dismissed.